Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Spring.
Crossover, step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, right here on 960theref.com.
What is up, everybody? Sam Franco, Chris Brame. It is another episode of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville right here on 960theref.com. Plenty to get to on today's episode of the podcast. We'll talk a little bit about the reaction to the conference championship games. We're going to save a Super Bowl preview and all that for next week. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about the comings and goings in college football, too, as there is a kid at USC who, after 2 weeks of being a freshman, not super happy and has already entered the portal. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. But first and foremost, we'll start off with our Fully Loaded question of the week. Again, we are brought to you by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Today's question comes to us from Jonathan in Statham. And we appreciate Jonathan for sending this question into us. When will the Patriots dynasty come to an end? And that's a good question, because I think a lot of people thought this weekend, or this past weekend rather, could have been the start of that with the Chiefs. But another AFC title game has come and gone, and yet again the Patriots have found their way into the Super Bowl.
Well, the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills don't appear to be close to making any sort of leap toward closing the gap on New England.
Well, the Jets hired a coach, that was a failure within his own division.
Yeah,
I mean, the Jets hired a coach. They got fired from a team in the division. That doesn't usually happen.
And it's not the first time that's happened. Rex Ryan got fired by the Jets and went to the Bills.
The Bills, that's true. Is that only in the AFC East?
I don't know. But even like the Dolphins hired, I keep calling him Richie Tenenbaum.
That might have been a better hire.
We'll just go with it. The Jets DM, I guess his name was maybe Mike. I don't remember.
Tenenbaum. That's
maybe.
Let's
go with Richie Tenenbaum.
I like
the Tenenbaum family. The Royal Tenenbaums. But, you know, he got fired by the Jets and the Dolphins hired him. So there's this weird, like, you know, just incest that goes on in the East. And meanwhile, you've had Brady and Belichick. And now Brady is in his early 40s. He's supposed to be slowing down, but they've got 6 layups every year, which means they have to go about 5-5 in their other 10 games,
right.
And they're 10-6 is the worst. You figure they go 11-5. They're at least one of the top 2 seeds. They get a bye in a home game in the playoffs, and they had to go on the road last week and win at Kansas City, which was a good win for them. But until the AFC East starts making some moves, as long as Brady and Belichick are there, then they're not going anywhere.
No, I don't think they are either. And it's certainly one of those things where you look at this team, and Belichick is so good at adapting. I mean, that's the one thing that they've done so well, is they will adapt really week in and week out depending on the opponent. You know, they're so good at game planning for various opponents. And I think one thing they did, look at Tyreek Hill, 1 catch, 42 yards in the AFC Championship game. So he did get behind the defense one time, but other than that, he didn't do anything. And, like, that's the big thing. You know, of course, that was the Chiefs' biggest threat, is deep threat down the field, Tyreek Hill. You take that away, and obviously it was a much tougher game for the Chiefs. So I think that you have that. So as long as Belichick's around and running their defense and being on that side of things, they're going to do well in scheming around what you do well. The problem is on the offensive side of the ball, and that's most of the time, if the Patriots do have a problem, it's on that side of the ball because Belichick is so good, again, at the schemes. But I don't really think they've had a problem offensively. Gronk has definitely slowed down. This isn't the same Tom Brady as it maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but he's still playing very well. It's almost like he has taken that Peyton Manning approach. Remember, Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl when he could barely throw the ball 20 yards down the field.
And I think that's kind of what Tom Brady's done, although not as physically limited. He still has some limitations that he has to overcome with his age, and I think the Patriots have helped him with adding Sony Michel, you know, and really going hard with the running game. But in terms of the dynasty, you know, or whatever you want to call it, ending, like what you said, with them being in the AFC East, I mean, as long as those teams are still stumbling over each other, I don't see the Patriots going anywhere.
Well, you know, look at the two teams that actually have, like, the young now quarterbacks. You have the Chiefs. You've got the Texans. The Colts, the Colts looked like they certainly bounced back with Luck, who's finally healthy. They got an offensive line protecting them. Maybe they've got a bright future after all. But after that, I mean, the Steelers are definitely on the decline now. The Chargers had a great year, but Rivers is in his upper 30s now. You know, so it comes back. Then you look at Cleveland and think, all right, Cleveland is an interesting franchise with the season Mayfield just had, with Chubb there in the backfield. They've got a really good defense. But they hired Freddie Kitchens to be their head coach. So I don't know. I mean, I would, you know, maybe they've got some upside there. But, you know, there's only two, three teams that you even look at outside of the AFC East that maybe have some, you know, some long-term standing to knock them off. But it is, but to me, it just comes back to if you've got a free pass to the playoffs because of the division that you're in, then the Patriots really they're not going anywhere for the foreseeable future.
And in terms of the sort of weightedness of the divisions, I would say right now the NFC is clearly better overall than the AFC. I mean, like you said, there are some teams, and I think Andrew Luck and the Colts under Frank Reich could certainly be a team that steps in, because Luck had one hell of a season this year, and if he can continue to, you know, stay healthy, and they can put more around him, because he doesn't have a whole lot around him on offense other than like T.Y. Hilton right now. So if they actually added some nice pieces around him, then maybe they could be one. But the AFC just doesn't have as many strong teams as the NFC does, and that might be because they just don't have as many, you know, strong quarterbacks. And one strong quarterback, although strong off the field, or at least not in the sense of being a very good quarterback, but being a strong athlete, wants to fight Stephen A. Smith right now and Derek Carr. So you've got that going on, basically challenging Stephen A. to step into the octagon with him. So, you know, I don't know if everybody's priorities in the right spot. I don't know how the Gruden thing's going to work in Oakland, but I will say that right now, Tom Brady and those Patriots are on the perch in the AFC. And yeah, it's going to take. I mean, did Patrick Mahomes and company come close to knocking them off? Yes. But again, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Somebody's got to actually do it in order for this to kind of, you know, be over with. And there are teams that have beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Philly did it last year. You've had the Giants do it multiple times. But it's just one of those things where they're going to be in the mix for a long time.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, every one of the Super Bowls they've played in has been a close game.
It has.
The biggest, like, it was what, they beat the Eagles by a touchdown?
Right.
That was the biggest win they've had in one of these Super Bowls, which is hopefully a good sign that we'll get another good game next week. But
yeah,
I guess
they beat the Rams and the Panthers in their first two by, like, field goals.
It was field goals.
Yeah.
Vinatieri kicked those late game-winning field goals, and they lost two close, three-point and a four-point game to the Giants. They
right.
beat the Eagles by a touchdown before that. They beat the Seahawks by one, right?
Right.
And
they beat the Falcons by, what, six?
Yeah.
34 to 28.
In a game the Falcons were catching 4.5.
And in a game the Falcons led by 25 points.
By 25 points and never trailed until...
till the end.
Till the end, and they didn't cover.
Brutal.
Yeah,
but anyway,
was.
We're not here to talk about that. While we're on it, let's talk about the AFC Championship game. You know, I thought Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's every bit as good as advertised. There's no question about that. That guy's the future of the NFL at the position, but the future is not now. And, you know, one thing that I thought the Patriots did really, really well in this game was just really controlling the game. You know, Sony Michel had a hell of a game himself, scoring two touchdowns, and now he has five postseason touchdowns, which is the most by a rookie ever in the NFL playoffs, and the most since former Georgia running back Terrell Davis did it in 1997 with five. And Sony could obviously get more. But I thought that their game plan overall was a great one, and some of the guys that, you know, step up for them and over the years have continued to do it. I thought Gronk had a monster game for them.
Well, he had a couple of those big catches. That one that he beat Eric Berry right down the sideline.
Right.
After, I think that was another third down. I mean, that was one of the deals, is New England just kept converting all those third downs.
Although Gronk
time and time
is the
again.
One that doesn't look anywhere close to where he was at his best, and I could totally see if they win this game, even if they don't. this might be the last game you ever see Gronk play.
Yeah, I mean, he's been had all those injuries from back injuries and everything, and he's definitely one that looks like he's coming to the end of his career.
He's much stiffer than he used to be with his movements.
Yeah, but, you know, he's still just a massive target that's hard to defend, and Brady doesn't look his way as much. I feel like Edelman really now is his kind of main squeeze. That or James White just dumping it off to to his running backs there. But it, you know, the AFC, the only things that troubled me about the AFC title game that marred what was otherwise a great game that ended up in overtime was Brady getting hit in the shoulder and they called it pass interference.
Yeah, well, or you mean a personal foul, because I thought he got hit.
They called it roughing the passer.
Yeah, because they thought he had gotten hit in the face mask, but then on the replay it was clear that there was no contact.
Yeah, he got swiped in the shoulder.
That's right.
They called, roughing the passer. And then just the fact that you play, the game ends tied, and you've got this overtime system that then is determined by a coin toss, and you got the league MVP in Patrick Mahomes, and he doesn't even get a chance to touch the ball in the
AFC. Some of those sideline shots of Mahomes just watching the Patriots drive down the field, you're just like, that's brutal, man.
Yeah, it is. And you know you're not going to get a crack, because it's like, boy, is there any chance we could just hold him to a field goal and I could get out there? Like, No, there's not. They're going to score a touchdown. Your defense has been on the field now for 90-something plays.
And I don't think there's really a perfect solution, because the system as it is in the NFL, I mean, it feels like, honestly, you know what I would probably do? Just play, you know, I would play one 10-minute overtime period where, you know, both teams in theory should have a chance of the ball. Like, it wouldn't be a, if you score a touchdown, it's over. It would be, we're playing 10 minutes, and the score at the end of that 10 minutes is going to be the final result. And some people might say, well, some team could just take a whole 10 minutes on one drive. And I'm like, okay, well, that's on the defense on the other side for not stopping them. So I don't really know what the solution is, because some people think, you know, the college system is better. And I kind of agree. But it also completely bastardizes the game, because you take out a bunch of elements of it when you do that.
I mean, the NFL can't adopt that system, because no defense would ever be able to stop an NFL offense from the 25-yard line.
Right.
And, I mean, the NFL, they're not going to have players that are like going to play seven overtimes like the
like in college,
like A&M and LSU did.
Right.
I mean, it's just, how about this? Both teams are going to be guaranteed a possession, and after that, then it's sudden death. Maybe force you have to go for two after every score. You can't kick an extra point. Or if you want to kick an extra point, it's a 50-yard shot.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But in the playoffs, if you want to keep it the way it is in the regular season, fine. But when you're in the AFC title game, the Falcons, they were done in by it in the Super Bowl. I mean, to play 60 minutes in the Super Bowl and then tied. And that year, Matt Ryan was the MVP of the league. And like, boy, he didn't even get a shot to touch the ball in OT, and it just came down. And I get it. People say, like, well, the Chiefs had the option of playing defense, but my thing is, well, the Patriots' defense wasn't subjected to having to play against Kansas City's offense because of the way a coin fell, and the Patriots' defense is the one that had given up 31 points in the second half.
Yeah, so that was...
And they got let off the hook because of a coin toss.
Had to have been a tough pill to swallow if you're a Chiefs fan, particularly, what was it? Was it 24-14 in the fourth quarter, I think, the Chiefs outscored the Patriots? So, yeah, I would agree there that it was definitely unfair. You know, what about this? What about each team gets an untimed drive? You know, if like, for example, the Patriots. They drive up the field, and if they score a field goal, great. Then the Chiefs would have come back and gotten an untimed down. If they kick the field goal to tie, then maybe you go to some timed scenario where it's sudden death or something like that. But, yeah, I would agree that, you should give both teams an opportunity with the ball, because, again, nobody wants to see a game like that, because it was a great game in the AFC title game, and nobody wants to see a game like that end the way that it did.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as bad as the NFC game, where it really does feel like there's an illegitimate team is playing in the Super Bowl. But, you know, other than that hokey roughing the passer call, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
But it's just at the end of the day, it's like, boy, that was... All of a sudden, like, the drama sucked out of that game when you're just watching New England march downfield, and then, like, they score and they win. Like, oh, wait a second, but the Chiefs don't get a chance now?
Yeah.
Like, no, they don't. The game is over.
All right, we'll switch gears now to said game you referred to, the NFC Championship game, where the Rams thanks to one of the worst no calls in the history of the NFL, and one that, hey, I think is the best no call in the history of the NFL. The Saints will not be going to the Super Bowl as the Rams beat them in overtime. And look, was it a bad no call? Yes. But guess who had the ball first in overtime there? The Saints. They had the exact same opportunities the Patriots did. They did not take advantage of it. So anybody saying that, you know, for my case at least, anybody saying that, oh man, the Saints got robbed. Well, yeah, they did, but they still had plenty of opportunities to go out there and win the game. I mean, you know, they had their opportunities and they blew them. So from the Rams' perspective, I've seen players saying, you know, it just sounds like a lot of excuses, although the best post-game reaction was Roby Coleman, the player who committed the infraction that wasn't called, saying, well, yeah, it was pass interference, and just trolling at
that. I like Todd Gurley, too, that posted that Photoshop picture of him switching jerseys with the ref, and then, like, apparently, like, Mike Francesa thought that was real.
Oh, God.
That, like, the ref,
of course he did.
Yeah, like that the ref really... And he did a whole rant about it, and I guess, you know, went to a commercial break, and, you know, some producer finally let him in on the bad news and went, yeah, that was just a meme.
Yeah, that's like when Adam Schefter with two Fs tweets something and fools everyone, you know?
Yeah, or who's the tough one, too? Is it Adrian Wojnarowski?
Yeah.
He's got some phony out
Woj.
There.
Yeah.
But, like, here's, and I know you're a diehard Falcons fan, but, like, here's the, and... the thing is, like, the Saints had plenty of chances to win it. They bogged down twice early in the red zone and settled for field goals. And they got duped by a fake punt. But, like, to me, it's like, that's true. But at least then the Saints and the Rams are determining the outcome of the game at that point.
Of course.
But you, as a diehard Falcons fan, like, was that pass interference?
Yes.
If it's called, are the Saints in the Super Bowl?
I mean, here's the thing I'll say about that. They still would have had to make a field goal.
A chip shot, though.
Right, but that's the thing. We're not putting into the thought process here that the Rams have the best defensive front in the NFL, and maybe they would have been able to block the field goal. I'm just saying, they still would have had to make the field goal.
Well, would the Saints be in the Super Bowl if that play is called a penalty?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, I'm not going to say no, of course. I mean, I'm not. That's the thing. Am I biased? Absolutely, I'm biased against the Saints. But even I can say, well, yeah, they got robbed, although I wouldn't spend tens of thousands of dollars putting up digital billboards all over the city of Atlanta saying it like I saw the other day. They've got, like, three different rotating billboards in different spots around the city. Some car dealership owner in New Orleans paid for all these billboards, and there's one that says, like, it's like Saints got robbed, hashtag blue dad. There's like also it's like these banners. I'm just sitting there like, okay, is it really worth spending tens of thousands of your dollars of your hard-earned money for that?
I like that. Well, there's some guy who sells billboards out there or woman who sells billboards out there that's like, okay, thank you. I'll take that
Well,
commission.
That's the thing. I'll take your money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, they're not going to say no to that, but I thought that was funny. And then the one that really chapped my hide because, look, we're in the middle of a government shutdown right now, and some idiot congressman from New Orleans is saying, yeah, my subcommittee on antitrust really would like Roger Goodell to come talk to us about this. How about you don't waste your damn time talking about sports on a subcommittee that should be worried about way more important things.
Yeah, and then so there's some attorney that's suing the NFL now
on
behalf of season ticket holders for loss of entertainment
or
something.
Yeah, but again, I remember back to the day when the government tried to get involved with, like, steroids in baseball. Stop wasting your time. This is a game. You know what I mean? Like people invest too much in sports sometimes to the point of they lose perspective and they lose focus, and it's like, dude, government shut down right now. People are not getting paid money. We don't need to be wasting time interviewing Roger Goodell about a no call in a football game.
Yeah, and it's not going to, you know, it's not going to affect the NFL. The Super Bowl is going to be, people are still going to watch the game, even though it's like, well, honestly, like this one team really shouldn't even be in the game.
I mean, you're right. I'll fully admit that. But, I mean, you know, you got Benjamin Watson out here, you know, a DGD, one of my favorite guys in the NFL, out here, writing a thing on social media saying that Roger Goodell needs to come out and say something and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, the NFL already called the Saints when they were in the locker room to tell them, yeah, we messed this up.
I know. Well, appreciate that.
Well, that's the thing. They already did that. The NFL has already admitted that the wrong thing was done. So hasn't Roger Goodell said something? Like, those statements don't come out. Roger Goodell wouldn't let those statements come out if he didn't approve them.
Yeah, I mean, through him. I guess
I mean,
he wants to hear the, you know.
But
like,
they'll
why? Specifically speak. I don't
know. Why does it matter?
At this point, would it make them feel better? I don't know.
That's the thing. I don't understand why it matters.
That like stuff, yeah. That, you know, as a Georgia fan, whenever Georgia gets hooked on calls and you hear like, yeah, the league sent a letter and they admitted that it
that
was
makes
a bad,
you feel worse.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't do anything. Like, no. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to go back and replay the game then?
Right.
Which, and, you know, I know people have talked about that too. The commissioner has that power.
Well, other than play, then like he can't overdo like referee stuff. Like I read the thing; it's a really weird rule. But bottom line is
like human error,
right?
It'd be like in Major League Baseball, the Pine Tar incident,
mm-hmm.
where it's like okay, that George Brett was cheating. Then they went like if a player was cheating or something, I guess maybe they could do it then. But
right.
a human being makes mistakes, and that's what happened there, I guess.
And it opens up a whole can of worms on different reviews or whatever, and reviewing things. But bottom line for me. The Saints aren't in the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and it is a good, good thing. All right, on the other side, we're going to take a quick break, let our sponsor, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, do a little spiel for you. But when we come back, we are going to talk about two things. One, how you can improve the Pro Bowl, which is this weekend. And two, a player who is already in the transfer portal after only 2 weeks of college. So that's coming up next here on The Crossover on 960theref.com.
Friends and family piled around the table, sharing big cheesy slices of pizza, golden baked calzones and strombolis, platefuls of zesty lasagna. It's not Nana's Kitchen in Southern Italy. It's Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. At Fully Loaded, you'll find all these Italian favorites like wings, salads, and hoagies. A full bar and patio, too. Family dinner, date night, or hanging out with friends. Get more out of it at Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Back here on The Crossover, 960theref.com. We are presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Sam Franco and Chris Brame along with you here. And the Pro Bowl's this weekend, and we're recording this on Friday. The Skills Challenge was last night, and I watched some of that, and that was way more entertaining than anything you're going to see on the field on Sunday for the Pro Bowl. The Skills Challenge was cool because they did like a quarterback accuracy thing. They also did like a gauntlet or like an obstacle course, and they finished everything up with a round of dodgeball. And it got me thinking, like if I'm Roger Goodell and running all this, first of all, I'm completely abandoning the actual Pro Bowl game itself because it does nothing. It's not a real football game. The rules are completely dumbed down to where, you know, you can't tackle anybody. So it's a game that nobody really, you know, people watch it, but I think it's one of those things where you watch it and you're sitting there and you're like, why am I watching this?
Well, yeah, like let's just to take the Falcons as an example. Like Austin Hooper's in the Pro Bowl and Julio Jones won't be playing in it. So it's like it's not really an all-star.
Right. And like Jake Matthews, I think, got called up.
He got
like
called
an alternate.
Up.
But it's like, yeah, like half the players don't even like go play in it. So like what's the point? And here's how I think you can fix this. And the dodgeball thing kind of had me thinking this, and you and I were talking about this, and you kind of feel the same way. Why don't we have some of these guys like play other sports?
Yeah, that's like, you know, have the NFL guys do a slam dunk contest.
Like Battle of the Network Stars kind of stuff where you've got like NFL All-Stars doing like a dunk contest or a three-pointer or playing like maybe a game of like three-on-three or something.
Home run derby.
Like things like home run derby perfect.
I've been like, I would steal elements from other All-Star games.
Absolutely.
And bring them to the Pro Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, and then you could just have like a skills challenge like special that was like, you know, 3 or 4 hours long on Sunday night as opposed to the actual Pro Bowl game. And one thing I'd like to see, like do like a Tiger versus Phil the match thing where you have maybe like, you know, foursomes going up against each other in golf. And you could have that as kind of one of the things they checked in on as well. I think there's plenty of different things you can do, but like skills challenges and things like this, way more interesting to me than the actual game.
Yeah, I can't tell you when the last time I watched the Pro Bowl was. I mean, it probably when I was a kid.
I mean, it might have been when Michael Vick was playing, like when I actually sat down and watched the Pro Bowl.
I don't have any like recall of it. I'm not going to say I haven't, but like I can't remember like watching the Pro Bowl as a grown up.
Well, and it's in Orlando this year. It's like, I mean, or the play, like that's another thing too. Like the players might want to like, oh, cool, the season's over. I can take my family to Hawaii on the NFL's dime. You know, it'd be great. But Orlando, the week before the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's probably cold down there.
Right. And that's like, now it's like, it used to be after the Super Bowl, which at least then if you're like, well, hey, you know what? This football's over, but no, wait, it's not. We do. There is still the Pro Bowl. Now it's the week before. And
well, now we got the Alliance of American Football firing up the week after the Super
Bowl. I got no interest in that.
Well, you don't want to watch Michael Vick, offensive coordinator, Aaron Murray?
Only because I could see a scenario where for the first time ever, the offensive coordinator benches the starter
and
for
comes
himself.
Into the game. That would
You're
be
out,
good.
I'm in.
Yeah, can Vick sign a two-way contract there? Both. But no, I just think at this point that like the NBA All-Star game is still entertaining to watch. You know what I mean? But they don't play defense, but you've got guys doing kind of goofy stuff, and there's the whole element now where the conference affiliation got tossed out, and it's
there's captains.
It's captains and picking and things like that. They're actually going to air that this year, the drafting.
Yeah, I'm glad they decided to do that because when they did it last year, like that
it was
sounds,
behind closed doors.
And also, like, yeah, that sounds like it would be more entertaining than the game.
Absolutely.
Because some of these guys, they don't necessarily like each other.
Well, and all their egos, too. Like, what if a guy gets picked last, like, that is like one of the starters or whatever.
Well, I mean, Durant's so soft with his ego. Like, if he got picked last, he might end up not even going to the game.
That's what I'm saying. He'd be very butthurt about it. So I think that the NBA does a great job with theirs. MLB, I mean, the Home Run Derby's cool. I watch that. But the game itself doesn't do anything for me. I will say that last year's game was very interesting because you had Max Scherzer, like on the in the first inning, like going up against all these like titanic bats from the NL or the AL side of things.
Like at least with baseball, other than the fact that a starting pitcher goes like one inning and then gets taken out, like the way those guys play the game has not changed. Like you mentioned in the Pro Bowl, you know, you're not allowed to blitz. You know, they change the rules of the game, and I guess you know teams certainly are. You know, together, I guess the players decide, you know, I'm not going to be hitting you hard or anything like that. The NBA, those guys do not play defense. But like Major League Baseball in the All-Star game, the way they play the game really is, it's the same way they play it during the regular season. So that's one thing going for it. But, and it also, it is just in the middle of summer and there's nothing else really going on. But I probably do watch, of all the major sporting event All-Star games, I probably do see more of the baseball All-Star game than I do any of the other ones. Like
it's also like there's absolutely nothing going on.
I don't think I've watched the Pro Bowl since I was a little kid. The NBA All-Star game, I will like flip back and forth on that Sunday night. You know, other stuff is on, but I'll pop in and out. And I do the same thing with the major league the baseball All-Star game.
Yeah, but the Pro Bowl, Roger, just kill it.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. And it's like, at least, again, with the NBA All-Star game, the game's biggest stars play in the game.
They do. Unless they're actually injured, they do play in the game.
The same thing happens with baseball. But in football, like the NFL's All-Star game, just using the Falcons as an example.
I mean, you've had so many people drop out.
We'll watch Austin Hooper on Sunday, but not Julio Jones.
Well, like Drew Brees, like he's not going to play in the game.
No, of course not.
Why the hell not? Yeah. It's like, dude, your team just got bummed. Eliminated, so you're free to play.
Guys,
you know
he's got to go testify.
That's right.
In front of Congress.
That's right. Congress needs Drew Brees and Roger Goodell to come immediately. Give me a damn break.
Did Matt Ryan not make the game? Or is he opting not to play either? I mean, I know the Falcons were a bust.
I don't think
this
he
season.
Made the team this year.
Okay,
which you know is what it is. I mean, he certainly didn't have his greatest season, but I thought he had his moments for sure.
Yeah, because the only guys in it are Mack, Hooper, and then Matthews.
Matthews got added.
And Julio was supposed to be in, but he
was like,
"No,
I'm good."
Play. Oh, the game's not in Hawaii. Yeah, I'm hurt.
That's right. He's like, you know what? I think I'll take a rain check. And last but not least here on this edition of The Crossover, Brain, does the name Brew McCoy mean anything to you?
It does now.
Well, he is at least for now, a freshman at USC, and he is a wide receiver.
Now, we're talking like he's an early enrollee.
That's what I meant, like freshman, early enrollee. Dude's never played a snap for them.
He
enrolled
just showed
in
up
January.
On campus.
Well, on January 5th, at the All-America Bowl, Brew McCoy, you know, he committed to USC over Texas, and USC was all great about his commitment and everything. But then yesterday, And when I say that, I mean we record this on this is Friday, January 25th. So on the January 24th, he made an unprecedented move, and it was only 2 weeks after he enrolled in the semester, he entered the transfer portal. And once he chooses his destination, he'll have to petition for a hardship waiver that will allow him to play next season. But here's the thing. How is the hardship for what? He's only been there for 2 weeks.
Well, you know what it's going to be? He's going to use the fact that Cliff Kingsbury left.
That is it. Because yeah. Kingsbury sold McCoy on the opportunities for wide receivers in his air raid offense. Then on January 8th, the Cardinals poached Kingsbury. And so Kingsbury leaving, this guy's going to try and get a hardship waiver based on that.
Yeah. Gary, he's going to get it too.
That's the thing. These whole hardship waivers, like, Tate Martell is using, like, Urban Meyer lying to him or whatever as reasoning for trying to get immediately eligible at Miami. And here's the thing. I mean, we've entered the Wild Wild West. Because if Tate Martell is granted immediate eligibility, and if this kid is granted immediate eligibility, although this kid's situation is even I guess, probably more worthy of it than Tate Martell's would be, then, yeah, we're going to enter free agency and the wild, wild west of college football. So my simple solution to all of this is to allow every player in that enters NCAA one carte blanche transfer that cannot be questioned and their eligibility cannot be taken away for any reason, but that's it. Like, well, if anything else happens and you want to transfer again, your eligibility's cooked.
Well, I mean, I agree with this kid. He committed there and was thinking, yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, air raid offense, that's where I'm going to go. I want to go and play. And then, like, 5 days
and
later, the guy's gone.
Yep.
So, I mean, he should be able to go and transfer someplace
I agree with that
else
for sure.
At this point. Like, it's just...
Like, Tate Martell, though, that's a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, probably, but he'll get his waiver, too.
Well, of course. That's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. Like, can you... I mean, is it that hard to believe that Urban Meyer might have lied to someone?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We've had people like Dwan Mathis basically said that Ryan Day and like that staff at Ohio State told him, no, we're not going after Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Lies.
Right. So, I mean.
Just like one of the, I think a recruit that was going to Oklahoma, like a quarterback, said, oh, they told me that they're not going after any transfer quarterbacks for a long time. Lie. Because they went and got Jalen Hurts.
Then they got Jalen Hurts.
That's the thing. These programs keep lying to these kids. And it's like, well, here's the thing. I don't have any sympathy for these programs if they're going to just boldface lie to recruits. So if schools can just lie to kids, well, the kids should be able to leave.
They should be able to leave. And also, you know, in the before this transfer portal, when these schools could block kids from going places, like we just hired a defensive backs coach from Florida.
Right.
But once upon a time, I guarantee if we had a player that wanted to transfer to Florida,
no.
Kirby would have said no.
Ooh, no shot.
If we can go and hire a coach from Florida, then if we have a player that wants to transfer there, then he should be able to. Now, would I like it? Of course not. I don't want any of our players going to Florida, but if we had some player that thought, like, you know what, I think Florida's better for me, then fine, so be it. Go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, people are all like, oh, the world's going to end if we have free agency in college football. I don't think so.
No, I mean, it's not.
It's not going to end. You're still going to have very good teams, and you're still going to have situations where guys commit to Georgia because they love Georgia.
We have free agency in other sports and hasn't dampened our enthusiasm for those.
Exactly. So I'm with you. I don't really care. I mean, if kids want to transfer, more power to them. Because when I was 18 years old, you know what I was not very good at? Making decisions that stuck.
No. Or, I mean, with this kid from USC, I could see you're...
Well, he was sold a bill of goods by Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm not blaming Kingsbury for leaving and going to be a head coach in the NFL as opposed to an offensive coordinator in college. But, yeah, that kid chose USC based on that.
Based on that. So now you've got, like, I'm reading he wants to go maybe to Texas.
Yeah.
Or T. Martin, who was at USC, too, and probably recruited him at some point along the way. He's at Tennessee now. But this kid is, you know, Nolan Smith was named the defensive player of the year by the Maxwell Football Club. This guy was the offensive player of the year.
Yeah.
For Maxwell. So he's a big-time recruit.
Certainly interesting. But
he's
in the
portal.
Well, but that's the thing. That's going to be the overwhelming, I think, discussion about college sports in general coming up here is, you know, what do we do about this? And I think you and I are saying, don't do anything. or at least do something in terms of just complete let the kids do what they want
to
do.
To me, it's finally going the way that it should be. All these years that we've watched coaches move to wherever they want to go, or coaches move from one job within the conference when those same coaches then would block a player from moving somewhere in the conference, but they have no problem poaching coaches from other schools in the conference.
Although in the Big 12, you can still block a player, you know, by not giving them that letter or whatever. They haven't changed that rule because Austin Kendall almost wasn't allowed to go to West Virginia.
Yeah, but I mean, until Oklahoma was faced with the negative, publicity from it, then they finally caved.
It's like you just poached a transfer from Alabama.
Yeah, and your last two quarterbacks were transfers,
and Baker Mayfield transferred within your conference.
I know, and then they were trying to prevent him from going to West Virginia.
I mean, it's
I don't understand why the schools ever even get to the point where it gets to where they get the negative backlash, because it's not worth it, because that's just where it's going to potentially hurt you down the line is in recruiting. If you end up getting this reputation that, you know, you're just, as Jaden Hazelwood said, used car salesman.
Used car salesman. All right, Brian, that'll wrap things up for us. We are the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Next week, we're going heavy ATL Super Bowl on this podcast. We will talk a lot about the matchup between the Patriots and the Rams, the DGDs that are starting running backs for each team, Todd Gurley and Sonny Michel. You've also got the Patriots with Boss Andrews.
We got to do prop bets, too. Will Andre 3000 join Big Boy?
Ooh,
do we have an Outcast reunion?
That's a big one. Will that
Adam Levine be shirtless?
I think I saw one where it was like, will James Harden's points be more or less than the total points scored by both teams or something like that? Like,
well, the total's 57, so...
Can James Harden get to, like, 60 points? You
know? What did he... He got to that the other night,
61,
didn't he?
I think. But he also scored 58 recently, and they lost.
Yeah. So also, none of the shots were on assists.
He scored, like, 260 straight points without an assist.
That's crazy.
All of them are non-assisted points, which is absurd.
He's a ball hog.
But that's another discussion for another day. So plenty of Super Bowl talk next week on The Crossover right here on 960theref.com, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.